Welcome to the Patricia King Podcast, a podcast where we explore God's vast love for all of us, as well as current and relevant prophetic insight to enrich your soul. Now, here is Patricia King.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about this launch today because today, Pentecost Sunday, is an anniversary for us as a church of 1 year of everyday praying, a minimum of an hour, but oftentimes those prayer meetings went on beyond an hour, even into two, some of them into three, and it has been an absolutely transformational year for so many of our lives and for the house. It's just been an amazing time, so happy anniversary to us. And also, it was during COVID, we were doing a prayer drive around Maricopa, and the car that I was in, we were just, you know, praying over streets and houses and churches and businesses and everything, and all of a sudden, I had a vision, and it was houses on fire. And you know, I just, you know, it just kept coming in waves, this vision of houses on fire, and I felt that God was going to ignite this city in homes. And so anyways, we're launching for the very first time this Jesus Fest, because today marks a summer of Jesus Fest, where we're going to celebrate Jesus, we're going to feast on him. I mean, we always do, but we're going to emphasize him over this next couple months. So the first event after today's celebration will be House on Fire, and we're really excited about it. So in your bulletins, there's the address there, and God's going to move in a powerful way. But on the day of Pentecost, I just like to do this before the message or as I'm entering the message, is that Pentecost is one of the main seven biblical feasts in Scripture. And whenever God called these feasts, it was for him to pour out his blessing on the people and for them to come to him and be a blessing for him. And they always came with an extravagant offering to him, and then he poured out on them. And so we're going to prepare our offerings today for Jesus, and he is what, you know, Pentecost is all about, because he has given us his Spirit. He poured out his Spirit on us. The very same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within you, and this is the greatest gift ever. And so we're going to honor him today with our tithes and our offerings, and as you prepare them, we'll just put up on the screen all the ways that you can give, and especially those of you who are at home watching and the web church, we want to encourage you to be extravagant in your giving. Any time that I have, this is a personal testimony, that I have given during a feast, specifically during a feast, with an intentional blessing unto the Lord in honor of the feast, there's always been this major return back. It's just like you can't outgive him. It's just like you honor him and then he pours out blessing back upon you. So I want you to expect that. So as you're preparing your offering, either writing a check, if we could put that up on the screen, please, how people can give. There's five ways that you can give. You can give on texting. You can write a check out to Shiloh. You can give online. If someone could just alert them back there, that would be great. But as I'm sharing this testimony, please prepare your offering with a real blessing for the Lord as you give. Pastor Francisco mentioned about the team that was just recently in Israel with Benjamin and Tara Dietrich, and they had an encounter in the upper room where, you know, of course, we celebrate in Scripture what happened in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. But they had their own Pentecost there. I mean, they started worshiping, and the heavens opened, and they were praying in tongues, and, the Spirit of God came. And, you know, you're not supposed to be loud in that room. You're not supposed to be, you know, continuing to be heard by others, but they couldn't help it. And then every group that followed just entered into it as well. And days and weeks following that, it continued. In fact, they had to move the group outside the actual room, but it continued. And this is an encounter that God gave us as a people to just enjoy the reality of the living God. He continues to live, not just 2,000 years ago, not just today, but forever. And I remember a few years ago being in Israel during Pentecost, and it wasn't during Pentecost, it was in the upper room, actually, and our Jewish guide, who is not born again, got impacted in the upper room as we were all praying in tongues. He went back into the bus, and when he started to share with us the next thing that we were to know about the tour, he couldn't speak in English or in Hebrew, he could only speak in tongues. And he actually got filled with the Holy Spirit. I said, this is the Holy Spirit. He says, yes, I know. He was totally drunk in the Holy Spirit. He was drunk for 2 days, actually. He just kept laughing, and, you know, he just couldn't speak in English. And it was really amazing. So our God is a real living God. And for those of you that are here this morning and you do not speak in tongues, which is a heavenly language, it's a supernatural language, I remember the first time I heard it was the night that I was born again, just before I got born again. A group of Anglicans, they were radical, and they were all praying in tongues, and it sounded like angels. It was so beautiful. And I received the Lord that night and then got filled with the Spirit. So that at the end of today's service, I'm going to pray for anyone here that wants to receive tongues. And everyone I pray for receives, everyone. I've never had a time when they didn't receive. So you will receive. Even if you're sitting there thinking, oh, yeah, but not me. I've been prayed for 100 times before, but you haven't been prayed for by me. Okay? So I guarantee you, you will be filled today. But this is our time right now to give to the Lord. Let's give extravagantly. You can write checks out to Shiloh Fellowship. You can write the word seed and text it to 73256, or you can set up online. So, Father, we just pray for our offering and our tithes today as we celebrate you, Lord God, and as we lift this up as a worship unto you, Lord. Lord, that you would receive the blessing of our love and the blessing of our worship in this offering today, Lord, and that it would be just a fragrance unto you. And Lord, we thank you for your promise. Lord, your promise unto your people that you will bless back. We can never outgive you because you always bless back in the more in so many different areas, not just monetarily, Lord, but in so many areas of life. You are always, always good, pouring blessing out upon us. So we bless this offering. We bless our giving. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. And our ushers will come and serve you in the receiving of the offering. A lot of times when you think of Pentecost Sunday, you think of a magnanimous, dynamic message, right? Because the power of the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. But I actually just want to really share as a family today. I want to share from my heart a message that I think will be dear to you because it's dear to me. But let's just open up and read the scriptures first to Acts 2, 1 to 4. And it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all together with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. How many were filled? All were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. How many spoke with other tongues? All, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, on the day of Pentecost, it was actually the birthing of the church. The church was birthed on the day of Pentecost. It's so, so beautiful. And Jesus, when he was leaving the earth, he gave his disciples an assignment. And he said, I want you to go to Jerusalem And I want you to tarry there until the promise of the Spirit comes. And they knew what tarrying was all about because they'd been with Jesus. They'd lived with him for 3.5 years. And they watched him, you know, stay up all night and pray. They knew what it was like to be with him in Gethsemane and watch the modeling of everything he did before the Father. So they knew what that meant. So when he sent them to Jerusalem, he did not send them with a church growth manual. He did not send them with instruction on how to set up a board of directors or how to set up a board of elders or a pastoral training program. He sent them to a prayer meeting. He sent them to a prayer meeting. And he said, I want you to gather together. And they did. Acts 1:14. It says that they gathered together and they were in one accord and they prayed continuously. And so what Jesus did was he gathered believers together because the kingdom is about relationship more than anything else. It is about family more than anything else. The family of God was born on the day of Pentecost. I just recently got back from a nation. I just need to be careful how I share right now. I just got back from a nation that in many ways is resistant to church and to the gospel. And there was a pastor that I met there, that just a young man, 30 years of age, and he was in a region where he knew the Lord had called him to share the gospel and to see people come into the kingdom. But he knew that there was resistance in this area to church. And so he prepared a meeting place, and then he went from house to the people, and he said, I'm not inviting you to church. He knew that even the word church would maybe bring about a resistance. He said, I'm not inviting you to church. I'm inviting you to family. And everyone came. They all came, and they filled the house. And I was just so touched by that because in Genesis 1, we see that God created a family. When he created all that we see in the earth so beautifully created, it was actually to place a family into. So in Genesis 1, we see that he created a family. And he was so touched by this family. And he said, you know, I want you to be fruitful. I want you to multiply. I want you to have dominion. And I want to walk with you. And he would walk with them in the garden. And he would be with them throughout their life and everything that they were doing. And it was just his dream was to have this family and to live with a family. That was his dream. And we get to give God his dream. We get to serve him, to give him the desire of his heart. And there's a whole world out there that doesn't know him yet, that he wants as his family. And so in Genesis 1, we see this family. And the family today is under assault. I believe the family is the most strongest component of kingdom life in the world today, and yet it is the most neglected. And even in the church, we sadly have reports of so much divorce, so many broken covenants, so many destroyed families. It's painful, and that's not to condemn anyone, because these are hard things that people go through. But I'm just saying it to let you know that there is a ferocious warfare out there against family. And why is that? It's because it's God's desire. Family is God's desire. And I'm just so blessed that Pastor Francisco, I heard him say last fall, around Rosh Hashanah, he started saying, I just keep getting family, that we're to build Shiloh around family. And you've heard him say this many times. And I remember asking him, like, what does that look like? Like, how do we build family? How, you know, what are the components for it? He said, I don't have all the answers, but I just know it's family. And I just want to say this is the very heart of God. And it's what was birthed at Pentecost was family. It's all about family, the family of God. And I think of Jesus' baptism, and we're going to be baptizing a number of you in water. And some of you are going to get baptized, and you don't even know at this moment that you're going to get baptized, but the Spirit's going to draw you, and You're going to end up in that tank. I remember, you know, a number of months ago, the Spirit came on me in a meeting. I thought, I got to jump in that tank. And I, you know, they dunked me once. I said, dunk me again. I think it was three times. I just felt like I had to be immersed, you know. And many of you have already been baptized into your faith. You know, you've repented and you've been baptized into faith in Jesus Christ. But in Jesus' baptism, when he was baptized, when he came up out of the water, the heavens opened, and the voice of the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And I believe that there's this family thing being birthed in our midst right now that's going to be so powerful for the days to come. And many of you are going to feel like you want to jump in that tank today to be baptized into sonship, to be baptized into daughtership, because you're a family. You're a family first to God. You're a son. You're his daughter. You know, it's not just being baptized into faith. It's not just being baptized into faith in Jesus Christ. It's being baptized into family as a son, as a daughter. And when Jesus was baptized and God said, "This is my beloved son," he could have said, "This is my beloved king," and it would have been accurate, but he didn't. He said, "This is my beloved son." He could have said, "This is my beloved shepherd," and it would have been totally accurate, but he didn't. He said, "This is my beloved son." He could have said, "This is my beloved intercessor, the high priest of your confession," and it would have been accurate, but he didn't. He said, "This is my beloved son." He said, he could have said, "This is my beloved church leader. He's the birther of the church." But he didn't. He said, "This is my beloved son." And before you are anything in the Lord, before you are a minister of the gospel, you are a son, you are a gospel, you are family before you are church. Oftentimes we think of church as an institution because it has become that. But it was never meant to be an institution. It was always meant to be a family. And God's going to teach us in Shiloh how to become true family. And he's going to lead us. We're going to be patient with each other as we learn, because we might make mistakes along the way. Do you think some families make mistakes being families? You know, well, so it is in the church, but we can help each other learn. We can help each other love well. And so something special is going to happen today in the baptismal tank, I think. But anyways, moving on. So in Acts 2, God gave birth to family. And he endowed the family with power, with the Holy Spirit, with power and authority to be fruitful, to multiply, to advance, to increase the kingdom of God. And he marked us by his Spirit that we would carry his very own DNA. So how did the early believers, how did the disciples of Jesus, the followers of Jesus, give birth to this beautiful church? How did they become the womb of what God wanted to birth? And I believe a lot of it was just through expectation and prayer. They said yes to what Jesus asked for. And we prayed for the watchman today. I didn't want to share any more at that moment, because I wanted to just share something now for the body. You saw this first fruit watchman placement in the house today. Officially, there's been established today on the day of Pentecost a corps of watchmen that represents all the watchmen in the house. It's going to grow and it's going to grow and it's going to grow, because the watchman anointing, the intercessors, is a womb of the Spirit to give birth to what God is looking for. And we will watch and see what the Lord will say. Jesus said, "I only do the things I see my Father do." And so watchmen are on the watch. We watch, what do you want, Father? Because whatever you want, we want to give it to you. We want to partner with you. We want to honor you, Father. We want to give you what you're looking for. So watchmen will birth, because they will watch for the word of the Lord. And they'll also watch and protect what is the Lord's, so that if the enemy comes, they're going to see him too. They're going to say, "No way. We don't pay much attention to the enemy. That's not what watchman is really about. You know, we're going to pay more attention to what God wants, because light expels darkness, but we are not going to be ignorant of the enemy's devices. And if he tries to touch anything, we're going to go after him, you know, unashamedly." So in Acts 1:14, it says, these all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer. So I like to think about what that was like with all those believers together. They were together continuously praying, right? Continuously. That means without any stopping. That means they had to all be together in one room. They were there together in one room 24/7 for 10 days. I think a few things might have got worked out. You've even got 12 apostles together?
Yeah, so good.
12 apostles? These are 12 leaders together? As well as everyone else with probably all their opinions and their emotions because they just lost their Savior and they're, you know, and they have lots of questions. And the only answer for them was to come together in love and in faith and pray and believe for the Spirit to come and make them as one. And He did. They became a family. That's a miracle, right? I love to think about that. So what did this early church family look like? In Acts 2, verse 42, it says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. In verse 46 and 47, it says, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple. Now that's interesting because the temple was the place where God's people, the Jewish people, would come together and worship and celebrate. And now we've got believers in Jesus Christ going into the temple. That's significant, really significant, because they were influencing through who lived in them their environment. And I just want to say this, that as a family, we're going to go out into society, and we're going to bring influence everywhere we go, right? So they were with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Now, the breaking bread literally means being sharing meals together, from house to house. And they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. We can have evangelism programs, and honestly, you know, by all means, let's win some. By all means, let's win some. And so evangelism programs, you know, I'm not going to demean those or anything, but I really believe there's the essence of the kingdom, when it's family and you go and you minister out of a love community, it's so powerful. It's what people are looking for, right? And Ben and Jody just finished their second internship here, and we were talking yesterday about just all the amazing fruit of it. And I mean, it's just a beautiful internship. And if any of you want to do the next one, it's in July, just saying. And you can find out more information on that if you go on their website at Pour It Out. But I was mentioning to them, I said, one thing I noticed that you cultivated in your internship, it wasn't like just coming to a class where you got students sitting and you're teaching them and telling them what to do and then putting a program together and getting them out there doing the program. It was built around family. It was built around community. And you could see it as it was forming. It was beautiful. And so many people gave their hearts to Jesus Christ by this family just going out and reaching people in the highways and the byways and wherever they were. Because when you carry that, it's so rare and precious in this day, that sense of family. And that's what we want to cultivate as a church, because as we do and as we break bread together, you know, take each other out for meals, have conversation, do life together, enjoy each other, enjoy relationship with one another. And that's one of the visions that we have for the House on Fire, is fellowship. is to have fellowship together, to get to know each other, to get to pray for one another so that when you go out, you carry the essence of kingdom with you and power. So there they were. They were breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness, sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. So there's something about family that causes you to gain favor with the people, gain favor with the government, gain favor with business leaders, gain favor with the education system, gain favor with your neighbors, right? And it's about family. Anyone can come into a church meeting and sit in the pew and go through all the stuff, but there's something special about when you come together and you know this is family. I'm with people who care about my life, people who care about me, and I care about them. I'm able to pour into them because I know that they're a son of God, a daughter of God, and that we're part of the family together to advance the kingdom under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So on this day, Pentecost, this year, I want to declare that Shiloh is a family. And that is, we are learning. What does a healthy family look like? How do we get better at this? And this isn't putting it on any particular person like, well, I'm just going to wait for the pastor and his wife and family to treat me good. That's not family. That's, you know, ridiculousness. You know, we all take part. We're all part of the family. We all labor together to love one another, to learn how to love each other. And we're learning what a healthy family looks like in the midst of a very dysfunctional world. Everywhere we look, the world is dysfunctional, it's perverse, it is a world that doesn't have a lot of model for us. So we need to set that model. We need to put that model in place. And we've talked about this before. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, let love be our greatest aim in life. Let love be our greatest aim. So imagine, just dream big for a moment, of a family, a church family together that has learned to love each other well and that cares about each other and that connects with one another and breaks bread together and then prays and the miracles start happening and the testimonies start happening. We've had so many testimonies this last year of things that have shifted in the spirit over people's lives, of breakthroughs that have come, so many miracle testimonies. And it's going to grow as we continue to be family. And, you know, family without love is hell, right? You know, if you've ever been in a real dysfunctional family where everyone's fighting against each other, it is hell. You know, who would want to live in that kind of environment? But family with love is heaven. It's like a taste of heaven. It's exactly what God is looking for. So Shiloh is building family, building marriages, building, you know, the church family, not an institution, not a program, but an actual family. And we're going to learn together what that looks like. And it's going to be born out of prayer. One of the things I notice is that as we've been praying for a year now, and I try to make prayer meetings every possible time I can. And what I notice is that there's a core group that comes often. And it's like you start feeling like family together. And you actually miss each other if you're not there, right? And it's just because there's this family being formed in the spirit. And it's really beautiful. And we want to cultivate that. And I just do want to encourage you, come out to prayer. And I've noticed that those who come consistently, oh my goodness, the spiritual growth in them this last year has been phenomenal. So we're going to continue to grow these, you know, different aspects. I think of Tara with the moms group. It's so beautiful, moms coming together and just feeling loved and feeling that they've got people that they can support, receive support from, and they can share openly and be pastored in that way. And we've got, of course, the women come together for fellowship and the men come together for fellowship. And Lynn, you and Bill are doing such an amazing job on the seniors with ReFire, you know, a place where they can come together and feel like family. It's just so beautiful. So we're going to continue to grow that. And of course, as I shared, the House on Fire being launched this week with fellowship, getting to know each other, breaking bread, eating food together, worshiping together, receiving the word of the kingdom. It's just going to be all amazing. And you know what? God wants just a big family. And each of us here, as we learn to love each other, will be able to reach out beyond ourselves into the community, to our neighbors, because we'll feel support, we'll feel cared for, we'll feel safe, right? And then we can bring those that are not in the Lord yet into a safe, beautiful environment where they also will be loved and supported. In Ephesians 3:14-19, it says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family," there's that word family again, "from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." And something's going to happen to us today. We're going to be strengthened by the Spirit in our inner man today. Are you ready to receive that? "That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." A family. That's what he wants for the family. Now, I know that some of you have been in church life throughout the years that you've walked with the Lord, and maybe you've been disappointed or hurt. In some cases, maybe even perhaps misused or abused, hurt. And as a leader in God's family, as a mama in God's family, I just want to say I'm so sorry. I was praying for you earlier today, and I realize there's so many with church hurts, right? Just that tried their best and then got hurt and wounded. And it's like, it should never happen in the family of God, but it does. And so we need to be forgiving, but I also pray that you'll receive healing today as well. And for those watching online, some of the reasons why people watch online is because they can't bear to go back into a house where there's real people because they don't feel safe. And you see, that's just not okay. That's not okay. That's not what Jesus came to birth. He came to birth a really safe family that loves one another.
For more information, resources, episodes, and more, connect with us at patriciakingministries.com.